to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashant Tirulayam, giving you live broadcast every Thursday in the Asia stream of Radio Sai. As the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall have ended just now, it's now time for us to go to the Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. Today, as a part of the Vedam Tutor, we bring to you a talk by Sri Dato Jagadishan, which was delivered as a part of the International Vedic Conference and Multi-Faith Symposium, as a part of Bhagwan's 92nd birthday celebrations on November 20th and 21st of 2017. This is a very, very interesting talk by Sri Dato Jagadishan, as he elucidates on how Vedic chanting is so very important in our day-to-day life and what effect it has on our minds and bodies.
Mr. Dato Jaga Jagadishan, he is the founder of Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organizations in the country of Malaysia. He is the consultant with the United Nations International Development Organization and United Nations Council on Trade and Development Malaysia. He has authored two books related to Vedas, Glimpses of the Universal Knowledge Vedas as offered by Sri Sathya Sai Baba and Sparks of the Divine Fire, Glimpses of the Vedas. He has also compiled a book, Unity of Faiths. He has been appointed as International Interfaith Coordinator for the International Sathya Sai Organization and has spoken at many international fora. He will be speaking today on the relevance of Vedas in modern times, within and outside of India.
Sai Ram, respected elders, dear friends, this is the topic of relevance of Vedas in modern times, within and outside of India. Now, this topic may be strange to you, but I'll explain to you why I'm saying this, okay? Firstly, let me make a confession. I am not a Vedic scholar, I am not a Sanskrit scholar. Okay? So that's a confession. Now we go to the reason why I'm telling you. We are now talking about Sanatana Dharma, eternal righteousness. And the entire Vedic philosophy, you know, is prefaced on that particular thing, Sanatana Dharma. Now, I'm going to do something very strange. I'm going to repeat some Sanskrit lines and I'm going to sing a song based on this Vedic thing. So please all of you join me and then we'll all clap hands and be happy. Then I go to the next main subject. Okay. Now many of you I think know all these words I'm going to say, but please just repeat the words after me. Okay. Huh? So here we start now. And I've given the translation there so you can see that. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Isavasyam idam sarvam, Ishvara sarvabhutanam, sarvabhuta namaskaram, kesava pradigacchati. So if there is fault in the translation, the pronunciation, please forgive me, okay? So this is the main thing. This is actually words from one of Swami's speeches I picked it up, okay? But you know, I can't remember Sanskrit. So how to remember? I make it into a song. By making a song, I remember, okay. The entire Vedas is also poetry form, okay. So easier to remember poetry rather than prose. So let me join me here. I've asked for someone to have a drum somewhere here. Maybe it is here, I'm not too sure. All together, okay.
Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Isavasyam idam sarvam. Ishvara sarva bhutanam. Sarva bhuta namaskaram. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Hai savasyam idam sarvam. Ishvara sarva bhutanam. Sarva bhutan namaskaram. Sarva bhutan namaskaram. Kesava pradi gacchadi. Sarva bhuta namaskaram. Kesava pradi gacchadi.
The meaning altogether.
Oh my Lord, you are everything. Oh my Lord, you are in all I see. The worship I offer to all I see reaches you, my Lord, that Tattvamasi reaches you, my Lord, Tattvamasi. Oh my Lord, you are everything. Oh my Lord, you are in all I see. The worship I offer to all I see. Kesavam pradigacchadi. The worship I offer to all I see reaches you, my Lord, Tvamasi.
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. Bhagavan Baba has said words, you know, to the this effect. Everything is there in the Vedas. The essence of all religions is there in the Vedas. We should never say that Vedas only for Hindus. Vedas is for all. Thundering declaration he made. Now, in short, all people must accept this Vedic knowledge. Whatever race or religion one belongs to, we must accept it. Now, only then can it be sana dharma, eternal righteousness. If it's not eternal, it cannot be applicable to everyone. Okay, we know that. So now, the question is this. And this is where I was confounded. Being totally untutored in Sanskrit and in Vedic thing, I asked myself, how true is this? How to? But must we accept this bold statement that what's in the Vedas, everyone must accept? Sounds a bit chauvinistic, right? And must we accept it just because we are Sai devotees? Then we accept it. Or just because we are Hindu, Indians or Hindus, must we accept it? Then the question began to dwell on me. I was very curious. As a non-Vedic and non-Sanskrit person, I had to look at this from a point of view of the hundreds and millions who are outside the scope of Vedic and Sanskrit world, who are also non-Sai. I was confounded. What happened if somebody asked me, Ejiga, what nonsense are you talking, you know? What should I do? Can we all agree to this? But I had to find out. So it's called a divine discontent, okay? I had to find out. So I decided to examine. I began to study a few aspects of Vedas in English, okay? I read all the English versions. As a result, I came out with two books. Why I came out with two books? Before this day, devotees, I used to go around the world. By the way, I must tell you that one time I was an anti-Sai Baba. I was an atheist, I was agnostic until 32 years old. Then when I became to know about Swami, said, you Hindu must become better Hindu. So I said, my God, if I'm going to be better Hindu, I better understand the religion, okay? So I began to study a little bit and find out what the Hindu is all about. Hindu temple used to be a very, very confused situation for me. And now, likewise now for thousands, millions of Indians around the world. So anyway, after reading all this, I came out with two books. One is called Sparks of the Divine Fire, Glimpses of the Vedas. And the second, Glimpses of Universal Knowledge of Vedas as offered by Bhagavan Baba. And you can see the picture, that's me kneeling at Baba's feet at Hillview Stadium, you know. And so these two books now began to give me some idea. When I read these books, I've got an idea what's happening. The idea here, my idea was to present a few glimpses of Vedic knowledge. Just a few glimpses, sparks of the divine, that's all. In a clear and simple way that the common man will understand. and I am a very common man, okay, and hopefully accept this universal Vedic knowledge of Sanatana Dharma from their own perspectives and viewpoint. This was the key thing. They were accepting the Western people, whether Japanese or Christian or Buddhist or American, must accept this. If it's true, they must accept this knowledge, but from their own perspective, from their own viewpoint. Okay, you know what they say over there, no? So, dear friends, are these Indian principles, a thing I began to ask myself, or are these universal and eternal? So I thought, okay, before somebody asked me, Jaga, what are you joking about this, let me look at some glimpses of it. So here, Jaga, I'm going to give you just two examples, okay? Time is not short for me, time is too short to give you many examples. Two examples from the Vedic scriptures. One is called Purushattas. I think it was mentioned in passing. The Purushattas are what is called, and then what is called Priya and Chirya. I'm just going to give you two of this, okay? I did all it purely to make my understanding of my own religion, okay? But now I realize I can better share it with some of the other youngsters. Now, many of the youngsters here in Puttaparthi may also know more about this than me, but no, I try my luck. So what are the Purushattas, the goals of life? Now, imagine what I'm telling is, if this is accepted, this should be acceptable to everyone. So the goal of life is the four goals of life, then every religion, whichever country you are, as long as you understand what you're saying, you must accept it. It's like science. You must accept it. So what are the four? One is dharma, righteousness or right conduct. Second is artha, wealth. Third is karma, desire. Fourth is moksha, liberation. In other words, Western, American, European, whatever it is, these four goals of life should be part of your understanding and your tradition and culture, and as long as you understand what this meaning is, that's all. So, dear friend, Baba says, very interesting, a powerful statement, these four, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, have been laid out by ancient sages. Do not allow these pillars to slant or tumble, as many individuals and nations are doing right now. People are betraying dharma, betraying karma, everything going extreme. They're doing such a way that now the problem is now the pillars are trembling. We look at it now quickly. The goal of holistic dharma, right conduct, righteousness, very simple. What does this mean? Around the world, we see the decline of dharma, decline of right conduct, righteous conduct. You see it everywhere. Just open newspapers in any country of the world. You see this whole mess going on. Okay, dharma is declining, and I'm going to show this is now. Dharma. We find around the world betrayal of dharma. Parents betray dharma of parents. Children betray dharma of children. Politicians betray dharma of politicians. Civil servants betray dharma of civil servants. Businessmen, religious leaders, all are betraying the traditions by which they uphold, they're part of. The pillars are slanting and tumbling, and people are suffering. The Sai mission should be to hold the pillar something. Let us all hold the pillar and see if we can get it up there again. Millions and millions are going to be affected by this. This is a great challenge for Sai movement. Dharma, whatever race, nationality, religion or culture, can all agree that dharma, righteous living, is an important goal of life. Four goals, one goal, dharma. We accept it. This should be the way we can explain it. It was the eternal goal. Now, the second goal of life, artha, wealth. Everybody wants wealth, you know. But is this an important goal of life for all people? Question again. What does it mean? Wealth of not just money, you know. Wealth of family, family life, wealth of friends, wealth of health, wealth of money also. Enough for comfortable living, life and living. To move from crushing pain and poverty into a comfortable life. Not excess, okay. So that's wealth. Will you accept this is reasonable wealth? Wealth is something, another goal of life that all of us should have, okay? Do you all agree it's a useful goal to have? Hello? Anyone listening there? Okay, next. Are these pervasive, all-pervading goals for all people? All people, it's a very important question here. But in this process, there's a flow, a methodology that Baba has talked about. What is this dharma thing, okay? Wealth is important. How it is obtained, equally important. I mean, dharma, artha, wealth, okay? How it is obtained, equally important. Swami is made it very clear. How? He says, back to the first principle. There is dharma, righteousness. So, dharmic, earn wealth, but earn wealth righteously. And spend the wealth righteously. This, would all people accept this as a reasonable goal of life to have? That's a very simple thing, okay? Then, third goal of life, karma, desire. Dharma, desire. Now, only desire is a common thing in the entire universe, okay? Only wood, rock, inanimate matter have no desire. Everybody, everything else have desire. From the, from all living beings, from the lowest animal to the crown of creation man, all are driven by desire. But what kind of desire? Desire to live, desire to eat, work, sleep, mate, let the list goes on. Now, the question is now, what goal of life should we have in respect to desire? What's the goal of life? Remember the four goals, huh? What goal of life? Dharmic desire, not adharmic or unrighteous desire. Now, the question is now, what is the difference between dharmic desire and adharmic desire? Let me give you an example. Simple, the Bible gives a good example. In the Ten Commandments, there's an example of adharmic desire. And what is that? Do not covet your neighbor's wife. That is an adharmic desire. Okay? Don't covet your neighbor's wife. So, to love your wife, in short, everybody is, to love your wife is dharmic love, dharmic desire. To love your neighbor's wife is adharmic love, adharmic desire. Very simple to understand this, okay? Would all people... okay, at least somebody agrees. Would all people accept dharmic desire as an important goal of life, the fourth goal, the third goal of life, okay? Dharmic desire. And finally, the fourth and final goal of life, moksha, liberation. Now, whatever you call it, merger, salvation, nirvana, entering the kingdom of heaven, whatever. Well, whatever one may wish to call this final destination, final destination of life. Now, would this be the final universal acceptance of goals of life? This particular merger, moksha, is my final goal of life. And I'm going to show you a simple example of this. It's called the hot air balloon of theory of life and living. Hot air balloon theory of life and living. Now, please don't go into Vedic texts and look for this. Okay, it's not there. This is something modern we did. Here's a hot air balloon. All of you know hot air balloon, right? You put hot air and the balloon goes up. Our life is like that. We are like each one of us is like a hot air balloon, okay? And we want to rise in consciousness. We want to rise in consciousness, rise in reasonable living and be comfortable, happy life, okay? That's one life. How do you do that? What we do, the theory of life and living, what we do, we then pump hot air into the balloon. And what is the hot air? Tell you everything we do in ashram, like every do in the Sai centers, we have bhajans, prayers, sari circles, seva, everything is pumping our life of consciousness, rising. Our consciousness should be rising, you know. We should be more peaceful, more happy, we're rising to the kingdom of heaven, moksha, that's it, hot air balloon. We're rising. But somehow, dear devotees, when the thing is rising, but the hot air balloon is not rising. The balloon is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The hot air balloon is not rising. Why? Because everyone forgets to cut the strings. The strings that bind us to the ground. And that is what? Jealousy, anger, selfishness, pettiness, backbiting, all these things are holding us back and we don't realize it. We're going to bhajan, pray, and come back in angry, fight with people, you know, and do all kinds of nonsensical things and we expect to get moksha. And even if you cut all the strings, one string is left, ego, that's enough to hold it down. So dear devotees, watch the ego. So then the balloon rises. All of us are here, why? We want the balloon to rise. So this is what dear devotees, unless the strings of negativity within us are cut, anger, jealousy, salvation, all kinds of stuff, okay? Then the balloon will not rise. And we will remain miserable and not happy and peaceful life. So, that's the first thing, the first the goals of life, the purusharthas, okay? Now, next we come to the next point I want to make, is something called Shriya and Priyas. I'm just giving two examples of this. This fascinated me, okay? This one, Shriya and Priya. What is Shriya and Priya? All of you know this, I'm sure. And they use universal eternal principle. That everyone must accept. Then the European chap will say, or somebody in America, what is Shriya, Priya? I don't accept this. No, because you don't understand it. Now once you understand it, you'll accept it. Okay? Now, can all accept this? What is it now? In modern man, has only recently accepted this particular principle of Shriya and Priya. Not the language, but the underlying principles of Shriya and Priya. What is it now? Let's have a look at it. Priyas. Very interesting. Watch it very carefully. What is Priya? That which gives immediate pleasure, but in the long run, would give pain and sorrow. That which gives immediate pleasure, but long run give pain and sorrow. What in the beginning like tastes like honey, but later will taste like poison. The Shriyas, that which involves initial pain and struggle, but which in the long run gives pleasure and happiness. Very simple, dear devotees, when I finish this, you ask yourself, what are you dedicated your life to? Priya or Shriya, and your children. So let's look at that later. Examples of this. Hospitals. Hospitals are full of Priyas, smokers and alcoholics. Initial indulgence, happy, life is always jolly. Then they go to hospital and get operation. And okay, so that's a classic indulgence. And so you go to the bar, it's full of Priyas, Priya guys, end up in hospital. University and colleges have Priyas also, who use parents' money, relax, enjoy life, you know. Hey, enjoy life, enjoy, don't do all kind of nonsense you do, and then later you weep because you fail. At the same time, dear devotees, then we have Shriyas in university hospitals. Those who have dedicated their lives and struggle for success in the universities and colleges, students, doctors, surgeons, you know, and surgeon hospitals, who avoid instant transient pleasures during universities. Because they struggle, they come on brother, come on, I don't know whether you say this here in India, they say, come on bro, let's go to the bar, you know, but then they follow the bro to the bar, okay, you know. So everybody, these guys who do not, in universities and colleges, those who avoid this bro to the bar, and they struggle, sacrifice, and then they succeed, and then they will have a good life, and they will be able to help the erstwhile Priyas. Well, I was happy that more than one person clapped now, okay? Dear devotees, the world may be full of Priya types of students. Instant gratification, instant pleasure, then regret later. But I know there's one place in the world which is filled with Shriyas, set aside students and colleges, okay? I see this incredible dedication of Sai students, you know, and every parent who send their children to such schools will be so proud of your kids, okay? Today I was sitting down and watching, doing the chanting, you know. I saw the little kids, you know, sitting right in front, you know. That guy's chanting the glory, you know, the morning chants. It is fantastic. So, these will be the material we are looking for, the Shriyas. Are these Priyas and Shriyas universally accepted principles? Do you think the world accepts this? That there are Shriyas around the world, huh? Hospitals and universities everywhere, and Priyas also. So this is again a universal principle. No one can say, no, I don't believe it, okay? You go and check and see. People take drugs, and they suffer. The drugs give them a big high, then after that, they die. So this is what we have a looking for. In the Western language now, how do you translate this Priya and Shriya in the Western language? They have discovered it very recently. Recently, I tell you. They call Priyas are instant gratification. And Shriyas are delayed gratification. This is a new science they've discovered. Instant gratification, late gratification. And they've done experiments on this. I must tell you this. No? They've done experiments with children. They put a group of children into a classroom. Some of you may have seen this. And then they have a video recording what the children are doing. Then they put chocolates for the children. They say, children, all the chocolates are for you. But the teacher is going out for a few minutes now. I'll come back, then you can have all the chocolates. So they go out. The teacher goes out. It's being recorded. Children sit down there for a while, watching. One floor goes, and then anyhow, it's meant for us, no? You take one chocolate and print one. Second floor, three, four, five, six times we're doing that. Then the teacher comes back, then now you can take the chocolates. Now, this is a scientific study, yeah? So then they monitor the students. Over a few years. They monitor. I mean, very patient guys, okay? They monitor. And they found... Oh, I got a shock, you know? they monitor the students and their friends. They found that over time, the Shriya type of students, those delayed gratification, became very successful in life. Whereas the Priya type of students did not achieve that kind of success. So, dear friends, this is what Veda is all about. As long as there are many more examples of this, okay, that make the Vedic knowledge very universal. And below, I told you about the books, okay, which I showed you earlier. But I'm sure all the respected scholars here, Vedic scholars, should do more research on this kind of topics and translate into easy to understand languages for the world. And I'm not saying not just for, these are the two books and that's a link there if you're interested in the books, okay? If you don't understand, don't link. Okay. And dear Bhaiya, here, message to Vedic scholars. I pray, please squeeze more knowledge from the fruits of Vedas and present to the world in the language and understanding acceptable to them. Don't let them climb up the supreme heights of knowledge. Go down to the level and explain to them. Not just in English, but also in Japanese, German, French, Korean, Indonesian, Malaysian, Arabic, so you can just share the knowledge of the Vedas to the world. This may be an invaluable output for this conference. Just an idea if you want to do it. Dear friends, in conclusion, hold on, in conclusion. They're already clapping before I conclude, okay? Yes. In conclusion, great minds in other nations also exist, okay? Other cultures, they have offered great knowledge to the world. Law of gravity is one such great knowledge given to man. Now, as an Indian, but Indians cannot say, I am an Indian. Gravity is present to the world by European, Isaac Newton. So I cannot accept this. So my response to that is, European discovering law of gravity quite by chance in time and space. All must accept this law. If you don't believe, as a good Indian, I don't accept this European, then no problem. Choose a tall building and jump. Then you'll realize what gravity is all about. Very simple, huh? But many Indians and even Malaysians would have discovered law of gravity earlier, before Newton. I'm telling this to you. Indians would discover this. But this truth remains unknown. Why? I shall reveal this truth just now at this conference. What's the truth? What was the Newtonian advantage that he discovered the law of gravity before Indians and Malaysians? He sat under an apple tree. Whereas Indians and Malaysians sat under coconut trees. And thus, we lost the advantage. What can I do? With these words of sorrow, I take my depart. Thank you. God bless all of you.
With this, we come to an end to this week's Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. It's now time for us to go to the next segment, that is the Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom, hosted by Brother Vishu. Sai Ram, happy listening. Stay tuned to Radio Sai Asia Stream.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live. Radio Sai.